Welcome to our service for the 11th Sunday after Trinity. One of the dangers of having a hymn which you always choose on a particular Sunday in the year is that you never pick it on other Sundays. For Trinity Sunday, I always choose Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty, with the result that I feel it's not quite proper to choose it at other times, which is nonsense, of course. So here it is. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Time of penitence, we continue with the simple Kyrie we've used throughout this Trinity season. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross many children are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. And keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now the collect for the 11th Sunday after Trinity. O God, you declare your almighty power most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace, that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first Bible reading this morning is from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, beginning to read at the first verse. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them, those who are tortured, as though you yourselves are being tortured. Let marriage be held in honour by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I need not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter, the first verse, and then continuing at verse 7. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honour, he told them a parable. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honour in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place, and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll be honoured in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbours, in case they may invite you in return and you'd be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind. And you'll be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. I came from heaven, but I danced on earth. In Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all. Wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced with the scribe and the Pharisee, but they wouldn't dance and they wouldn't follow me. Dance for the fishermen, for James and John, they came with me and the dance went on. Dance then, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all, wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame, the holy people said it was a shame. Whipped and they stripped and they hung me high, they left me there on the cross to die. Dance then, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all, wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone. I am the dance and I still go on. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. They cut me down, but I leap up high. I am the life that'll never, never die, and I'll live in you if you live in me. I am the lord of the dance, said he. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
Our lectionary arrives today at the last chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. The epistle as a whole remains something of a mystery. We don't know who wrote it or who it was written to. Whereas the other epistles are known by the name of the place to which they're sent, this one is not named from any sense of location, but because of its content. It's called the Epistle to Hebrews because it is steeped in Jewish tradition, and it's clearly argued from a Jewish position. In chapter 11 alone, we find references to Abraham and Sarah, Cain and Abel, Enoch, Noah, Isaac and Jacob, Moses, and many other Jewish heroes and martyrs. The people to whom this epistle was written had clearly been Jews themselves, and they needed to be assured that their newfound Christian faith was of one fabric with the faith in which they'd grown up and which they'd always believed. In fact, all the New Testament epistles argue this and accept it. It's just that it is much more heavily emphasized and very differently expressed in Hebrews. There is a real sense here of what Jewish Christians had by now quite clearly lost, most especially their access to the temple at Jerusalem. The author needs to reassure them that there is a new Jerusalem and a new temple not made with hands, to which they've been given privileged access as the new covenant people of God. All of that is covered in the first 12 chapters of the epistle. This last chapter is something different. Whereas up to this point the writer has been talking about the shape and rationale of Christian salvation, he now turns to talk about Christian behaviour. It's something we've often mentioned before, that the members of the new Christian faith had now to understand how they were to live day by day. The difference here is that whereas in a place like Philippi or Corinth, the new Christians had up till now in many cases been Gentiles or pagans, here the writer addresses people who've always been Jews. And whereas, to use the most obvious example, new pagan Christians might wonder whether they now had to eat kosher food like their Jewish neighbours, these Jewish Christians might be asking exactly the opposite question. As Jews, they'd eaten only kosher food all their lives. Now that they were Christians, could they eat whatever they liked as their pagan neighbours did and as their pagan Christian brother and sisters did? The first phrase of this chapter is telling. Let mutual love continue. If anything, we underestimate the importance of love in the life of the Christian church and the early church's understanding of itself. This is the first and most important thing that the author needs to say about Christian living. The Christian community is to be marked by the sense of how much the Christians love each other. The main act of Christian worship was the agape meal, literally the love feast. The most fundamental aspect of how they were to live and indeed of how we as Christians are to live today, is that we love one another. Let mutual love continue. It's important, though, that this love which the Christians are to share does not turn them inward upon themselves. Do not neglect to show hospitality to the strangers, says the writer, for thereby some have entertained angels without knowing it. This was, of course, a strong part of the Jewish tradition, based not least on the wonderful story from Genesis of the Oaks of Mamre, where Abraham and Sarah showed hospitality to three mysterious figures who brought them messages from God. In the context of the early church, though, it did require special bravery, probably, to be hospitable. We know, for example, that there were people like Saul of Tarsus sent out to find Jewish Christians and even take them into custody. The next verse gives some idea of this threatening context. Remember those who are in prison, says the writer, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves are being tortured. Probably this is not primarily a reference to ordinary prisoners who might be imprisoned for some other kinds of crime, but to those Christians like Paul and Silas who had been thrown into prison for their faith. Paul writes elsewhere that he fills up in his body the sufferings of Christ. And just as the apostle shares in the sufferings of his master, so the whole church suffers in solidarity with Paul and all its prisoners. Remember them as though you were in prison with them, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Because certainly in Paul's eyes, they were. His was a suffering borne on behalf of the whole church, the whole body of Christ. There are still, of course, imprisoned, suffering Christian prisoners today. Then there is a shift which takes some understanding. Let marriage be held in honour, and the marriage bed be undefiled. But this is in fact another one of those areas where there might be pressure from the mixing of Jewish and pagan Christians in one fellowship. Pagan sexuality was, in general, much more permissive than Jewish. Jewish Christians were not to be enticed away from faithfulness to their wives and husbands. Marriage still mattered and was still to be held in honour. The very fact that this needed saying suggests that there was at least a perceived risk that the love which was to be the mark of the fellowship might be misunderstood in a sexual way. It always has happened, and it still does. As the writer has already made clear, belonging to a Christian church is, or at least ought to be, a deep experience of love. And when men and women are drawn together into an experience like that, there's always a risk of misinterpretation. Indeed, the deeper the love which a fellowship shares, the greater the risk, which needed to be guarded against then, as it does now, as the writer makes clear. Next, keep your lives free from the love of money. The point about money in the Jewish tradition is that it is a good servant, but a tyrannical and dangerous master. This is very much the teaching of the Lord Jesus himself, of course. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Jewish tradition never denies the good things that money can bring are a blessing. But Jesus speaks from the heart of that tradition when he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added to you." It is not money, of course, which is the root of all evil, but the love of money, giving it the place of an idol in your life. And like all idols, it can make you a slave. Keep your lives free, says the writer. keep your lives free from the love of money.
Then, as we often find in the epistles, there is a reminder of the debt we owe to the people who educate us in the faith, and also of the opportunity they give us to give good lives by emulating them. How should these new Christians behave? Well, how did Paul behave, or Peter, or Apollos, or whoever it was who led them to the love of Christ and educated them in the way? Consider the outcome of their way of life, says the writer. It may have been a deeply challenging thing to say. For the apostles, James and Andrew, Peter and Paul and others, the outcome of their way of life, like the outcome of the life of their master Jesus, was that they were put to death for their faith. But perhaps also, the author wants to remind his readers that the apostles did not die before they had laid the foundation of something truly wonderful and lasting, the Church of Christ, the Lord's people, established forever, against which the gates of hell would not prevail. Only the seeds that in life we have spoken, wrote the great hymn writer and evangelist Ira D. Sankey, only the words that in life we have spoken, only the seeds that in life we have sown, these will pass onward when we are forgotten, only remembered for what we have done. Consider the outcome of their way of life, says the writer. Finally, this body of people who were in the beginning defined by their mutual love are redefined at the end as a people defined by worship. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, says the author. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Time and again, the New Testament epistles remind the new Christians that they are a people with a special privilege of worship. You are a chosen race, writes St. Peter, a royal priesthood, a holy nation belonging to God. And just as he began by saying that the mutual love of the people should turn them outward and not inward, so the writer finally reminds them that this is true of their worship also. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. If the worship that we do on Sundays is all the worship that we do, then by this standard it isn't really worship at all. Week by week at the end of the communion service we say, we present ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Oh,
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Anthea. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In tad yr hynoetyn y nefoedd, sanctheddiad dy enw, deled y dernas gwneled y wychlis, megis yn y nef fechli ar y ddeol hefyd. Dyna ni heddiw ein bar y benyddiol, y maddau ni yn dyledion fel y maddau o'n ninnau yn dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, eithaf gwared ni rhag drwg. Cynnys eiddo ti o'r dernas a'r nerth a'r gogoniant yn oes oes oedd. Amen.
We come now to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. God of wholeness, God of grace, to you we bring our thanks and praise. To a world that searches, you are a lamp that shines. To a world that is hungry, you are food that sustains. To a world that suffers, you are hope of release. To a world that is broken, you are the one who restores. To a world full of hate, you are love that forgives. To a world that denies, you are truth that endures. To you we bring our thanks and praise. May we rejoice in your light and in your love. Through Christ our living Lord. Amen. We pray for those affected by wars and conflicts. We remember all those in Ukraine who are fighting for their homeland. God of justice and peace, we pray for those who have lost loved ones, for those who have been injured or disabled through wars. We pray for those who face danger and take risks for peace. And we pray for those, especially the children, caught up in current conflicts, and for refugees and all those in need of aid and help. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all the teenagers who have received their exam results in the last couple of weeks. We pray for those who were successful and wish them well as they start new schools or universities. And we pray for the children who, because of background or circumstances, do not fulfil their true potential in our education system. Give wisdom to teachers, support workers, and parents, that they might encourage all children to reach their goals. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Lord, many countries have experienced record high temperatures this summer, and we pray for all those who are now facing drought, water shortages, and forest fires. We pray for those facing unpredictable weather, disrupted seasons, and failed crops, and for those facing flooding and loss of land. We pray for the poor, the vulnerable, and the refugee. And we pray for us all that you will give us the strength and the will that we might be partners with you to renew this damaged world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are sick or ill. We continue to pray for Richard, and in a moment of quiet, for all those known to us. We pray for all who are frail and elderly, and for those who are ill. Give them courage, hope, and peace, and the knowledge that you are with them in their weakness, pain, and suffering. We pray especially for those who have no one to help them, that in their loneliness they may know that you are always with them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for the bereaved. Several members of our churches have recently experienced the pain of losing a loved one. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those whose hearts have been saddened by the death of someone close and dear to them. Be with them in their sorrow and let them feel your presence in their hearts. Ever-present God, you walk with us through good times and bad, mountain top and valley deep. Your footsteps our guide, your hands our support. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Peace the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.